on being human. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. On being human. This is the standard brand for all of us to be human. Every one of us. No matter whether we think we are spiritually illumined or whether we think we are the most ordinary being on the face of the earth. Being human is the most natural thing in the world. Being human is what we do all the time, how we act all the time, how we think about ourselves all the time. Being human is the attitude we have about what this world is that we live in. Being human is the attitude we have about what this body is that we live in. Being human is the attitude that we have about anything at all. Now think of anything. Think of anything in your life. Think of your family. Think of your job. Think of your body. Think of your life. All these things have little consequence to them except for the attitude we have about them. And when you have an attitude, well, why does a weightlifter have an attitude about weightlifting? Why does he love to lift weights? Why does he take all the time that he does to go around building up his body and building it into be a strong, powerful device so that he will be able to do what he thinks he'd like to do? And what is it that he thinks he'd like to do? Why in the world would anyone find satisfaction in lifting weights? Now, your body can only be developed to a certain degree. Oh, you can go overboard and have it be extremely bulky in muscles and so forth, or lithe, depending upon how you're training yourself. And once you've done that, then what do? Well, you go out and enter shows where people look at you and say, my, isn't he well developed? Or you go into wrestling. And most weight trainers and most weightlifters do not do anything else except lift weights and build their body and show it off. They are not wrestlers. They are not track stars. They are not people who get off into sports of any kinds. They are just people who lift weights. Now, they don't have time for anything else except lifting weights. And their body develops and grows and develops and grows into some very powerful looking specimen of a human being. Totally innocuous, totally different from what a normal human being would be. But it's developed into a very beautiful expression according to their vision. The rest of the world looks on and says, oh, but that's not for me. Another person might spend time in training themselves in dancing, becoming a great salsa dancer. And they might dance and dance and dance, and pretty soon they're very excellent at it, and they find other joys out of doing it. They find the ability to move to the music, the ability to take their partner and work with their partner in dancing, the ability to do all sorts of things, but pretty soon it becomes a job. Pretty soon it becomes a passion. It becomes a habit. And the joy of doing it for itself is lost. And unless you are really a dedicated person to anything at all, you don't stay with it. You let it drift away and you go on into other things, which is the most beautiful and proper way, I guess, to live our life. But a human being is a being that is always looking to reveal itself, always looking to unfold itself, always looking to be something which it thinks it is not. And in trying to be something which it thinks it is not, it is at all times changing its attitude about itself. At all times it is looking for something. It is trying to do something that it is not really comfortable for it to do. And as it searches and searches and searches, it may find from time to time the various things that, for which it's searching, but in the conclusion of the search, it finds nothing, no satisfaction. For as they say, the journey is the thing, not arriving at the goal. For when you arrive at the goal, then you have to start out on another journey. And it's the journey that is the thing. So now, a human being is a human being and will always be trying to achieve a goal. The goals may be large, they may be small. The goals may be beneficial or non-beneficial. The goals may be something that we think is so important and the rest of the world says, well, that's interesting, but that's not important for me. Why is it that we want to be human beings? Oh, you say, well, we don't really want to be human beings. We are. We'd like to be something more than a human being, but we are a human being, and so that's where we have to be. Well, is it where we have to be? What journey are we taking? Are we taking the journey into being more and more human, more and more physical, more and more mental, more and more spiritual? More, hey, how'd spiritual get in there? If we're going to be spiritual, isn't that different, a higher calling than the human? No, not at all. The desire to be spiritual means that you don't recognize that you are spiritual. And once you recognize that you are spiritual, you don't desire to be it. Once you recognize that you are a master, you don't desire to be a master. Once you desire, once you know that you are physically the ultimate, you don't want to be it anymore. Once you know how to salsa dance, and you are excellent at it, and you are very qualified at it, then you lose interest in it. You desire to go and work in some other wonderful, fulfilling experience. It's just the way life is. Now, how is it for you? What is your choice? What is your goal? What is my goal? Well, my goal is to walk my spiritual path. Oh, but you said that's a desire too. That's true. But when I walk my spiritual path, I am aiming myself toward being something that I don't understand. I can never fully understand. And when I'm a salsa dancer, I understand when I have accomplished the ability to dance very well. When I'm a weightlifter, I understand when I have reached certain limits that I had arbitrarily set for myself to build my muscles and biceps and triceps and all the other aspects of the body into their glorious fulfillment in my mind. But once I have arrived there, it's a static situation. But once I've arrived at my spiritual goal, I come into a totally different picture of things. Because as I begin to turn my attention toward that spiritual self, I find that instead of going for the outer expression, I'm going for an inner expression, something I don't truly understand. But I'm going for an inner expression. And that inner expression is an inner awareness of what's really going on in me. What happens when I go into a meditation? What happens when I stop and think about who I am? When I stop and think, I'm going to let go and let God have its way in me. And as I think this, I think of an outside deity, an outside power, and then I realize that there is no power outside of me, it's all inside of me. And when I realize it's inside of me, I realize that's where God is too. God is inside of me, and the divine is inside of me, and my spiritual self is inside of me. So, I take the time, I take the dedication, I build up the attitude of the habit of listening within. Now, do I have to be still when I listen within? Do I have to stop all of my outward learnings and outward seeking to listen within? No, not at all. I do not have to stop the outward seekings and the outward learning. But I just let it pass. Or when I try to stop the outward things, I'm giving attention to it, and I'm not giving attention to listening within. Now, to listen within, I become quiet. I can do it in any number of ways, as I like to point out, because I can do it while I'm walking, while I'm talking to other people, while I'm sitting, while I'm lying down, while I'm thinking of something totally outrageous, like, what is the solar system beyond this system like? What is the heart of man like? How can one be healed? How can the physical body be healed of any malady that might be thrust upon it? How can we put new causes in motion for, how can I put new causes in motion for myself that will let me be all that I can be? Now, these are ways of meditating, really, because meditating means to think about. And so I'm thinking about things. Now, I like to think about how it is to live in a state of absolute quiet, in a state where there is no noise, no outer activity. And to do that, I go to my inner. And I listen to what I feel is going on in my heart. At first, I pay attention to my physical body and my breathing and my heartbeat, my pulse, same thing. I listen to the inner workings of my body and how all of it works so perfectly and so divinely, because it is divinely created. And then I sort of drift away from that thinking, and I drift over into the thinking of a feeling of wonderment, a feeling of joy. My goodness, how wonderfully made I am. How wonderfully made is this body? How wonderfully made is this brain that I have that can utilize the infinite creative cause of the universe, the mind itself? How wonderful. And I have a smile in my heart and a smile in my face, a smile in my voice, a smile in my beingness. And I just feel so wonderfully good. And then I relax in that wonderful goodness feeling. It's sort of like a peace. The peace of mind. The peace of mind that is so quiet, so without measure to it. And yet, if I try to describe it, I'm describing a bliss that I don't even know how to describe. For when I am it, that's all that matters. But how do I get there? I get there by just taking my heart, taking my mind away from the outer. And not necessarily listening to what's going on in my inner physical body, but I listen to what's going on in my inner spiritual self. And as I choose to do that, I find out there are things going on there that I hadn't noticed before. As I let go of the outer, the inner is all that remains. And I begin to think about the inner. I begin to think about that feeling of bliss, that feeling of peace, that feeling of wonderment for all that is. And I begin to realize that every thought that I think, should I be able to take those thoughts and direct each thought that I think to a feeling of all is right with the world, all is in divine order. In fact, that's a very good statement. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Not that I'm giving up, not that I'm not taking responsibility for life and for being, but I'm saying all is in divine order. And as I say all is in divine order, then, miraculously, somehow, all seems to be in divine order. And I don't have to do anything to make it happen. It just reveals itself to me in my life. All is in divine order. All is magic. All is majesty. All is greatness. All is goodness. All is in divine order. It just, that there is nothing to disturb me anymore. The things that rattled my cage that got me irritated before, when I say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. I have no conscious idea of what all is in divine order means. I have no conscious idea of how it's going to affect my life, or how it's going to change or resolve or relieve or reveal, how it's going to do any of those things. I have no idea. But I do know, by my saying it to myself, by my repeating it again and again and again, so that my inner self has it as its private mantra. As I do that, then that feeling of great joy, that feeling of great peace, overwhelms me. And all of my outer anxious ideas of what needs to be done are no longer there. Oh, the outer conditions may still exist. The outer world may still be in a great turmoil that I created it in by my thought. And it may be suffering terribly. But the moment that I say, all is in divine order, and I quietly enter into that consciousness that all is in divine order, and I live in an inner bliss, all is in divine order, then the outer things begin to fade away. The outer things begin to cease to be so terrible. Many of the great spiritual leaders and great masters of consciousness have trained themselves in the idea of inner bliss, of all is in divine order. And they can sit on the most busy street corner in the world, with traffic roaring back and forth on both sides of them, and they are completely unaware of what's going on around them. Now, you heard that word, didn't you? They were unaware of what was going on around them. Whatever went on around them did not disturb their bliss. Whatever went on around them did not disturb their inner consciousness. Whatever went on around them was of no consequence to them. They did not have to do anything about it. No car would run over them. No people would try to get their attention. No activity would demand that they think about it, because they were sitting there in their state of meditation, in their state of inner bliss, and they were untouched by the outer. When people experience an illness, cancer is always a good one. When people experience an illness and they feel that this illness is going to overwhelm them, it's going to take their life, it's going to disrupt everything that they ever thought of doing, disrupt every way that they ever wanted to be, you would think that to be whole would be the most important thing in the world for them. Well, now, if a person would like to be whole, the first thing they have to do is release the hold that they have, on the illness. They have to release the hold that they have on the cancer. The cancer is so much in their mind, so much in their body, so much in their experience, that that's all they can think about. They want to read about cancer. They want to study it. They want to see how other people are handling it. They want to read about all of the medication that might be available to help them cure their cancer. They want to use all the pills that can be used. All of us are subject to that same rhythm because we're reading about this in the outer. And then, if we would really become the creator of our own world, as we are, and create it in a way that is cancer-free, we have to create it in a way that is cancer-free when our mind is free of thinking about cancer, when our body is free of thinking about cancer. Oh, the cancer can be very rampant. It can be very ugly. It can be very hurtful. It can be eating away at us and just chewing up our body. It's something terrible. But we have to stop that. And we stop that by putting our attention on something else. We put our attention on our inner bliss, our inner peace. And we take our conscious mind away from the attitudes of cancer, the attitudes of illness, the attitudes of something that we can do nothing about. And we take our conscious mind, whether we do it through our becoming unconscious or becoming a thoughtful person, thinking about what we want to think about, whatever it may be, and as we do that, then we enter into the attitude of wholeness, the attitude of purity, the attitude of goodness, the attitude of right action. It doesn't matter how serious the cancer may be. We enter into the attitude of no cancer. Many stories are told where this has taken place, and I've been party to many of them myself. But to tell you the stories doesn't tell you anything. We're not interested in talking about getting over something. We're interested in talking about revealing something. We want to reveal the purity that we are. We want to reveal the wholeness that we are. We want to reveal the divinity that we are. We want to reveal who we are. Now, how can we reveal who we are if we're going to constantly be aware of who we do not want to be? We may now be showing forth who we don't want to be, but unless we put our attention on who we do want to be, we will never be who we do want to be. Now, who do you want to be? Do you want to be whole and perfect? Then start thinking of yourself as whole and perfect. This is done in all the areas of the entrepreneurship. It's done in all the areas of people who want wealth. They have to start thinking about wealth. As long as people think about poverty, they will not have wealth. They just cannot. As long as people think about illness, they cannot have health. As long as people think about anything in the world that controls them, then they are not in control. Now, how do you turn your attention to your inner bliss, to your inner peace? How do you turn your attention to something that is a contrary to what you are experiencing in the outer? Well, you turn your attention to it like going to sleep. You turn your attention to it by putting your attention on whatever it is that is delightful to you. You turn your attention. When people are in prayer, presumably, when people are in prayer, they have their attention turned on their higher nature, and they are not thinking of anything in the outer. One great spiritual master said to his student one time, "Are you meditating?" And the student, in great sincerity, and because he wanted to be dedicated, and because he wanted to be true, he said to his master, "Yes, master." And of course, he was not meditating. Because if he were truly meditating, he wouldn't have heard the master. If he were truly in his state of inner bliss, he wouldn't have heard the outer. Now, this is what his master was attempting to teach this young man. He was attempting to teach him to be in a state of inner bliss, where he lives, moves, and has this being, where he finds his reality, and the bliss from the within shines forth in the without. But when you have no bliss within, when you have not found it, when you have not taken the time to search and bring it forth, then your outer demonstrates all sorts of confusion. Are we ready? Am I ready? Am I ready to live every single moment of my life in that inner bliss, in that inner consciousness of oneness of the divine? All is in divine order. Am I ready to live my life? All is in divine order. Am I ready to live my world? All is in divine order. Am I ready to live in every aspect of my being? All is in divine order. Am I ready for that? Or am I going to go on again and again and again with the outer limitations that life presents to me? Life will present to me, all is in divine order. Life will present to me what I am inside myself. And if I am inside myself bliss and purity and goodness, the outer world expresses to me bliss, purity, and goodness. Now, some people, like myself included, say, I'm a sharer, a teacher, and as a sharer and teacher, I'm teaching people who presumably don't know, or who would like to know, or who would like to improve what they're doing. Well, now, if I am a master, if I am a all is in divine order being, then there are no people to teach. There is no one in my world who needs to learn how to reveal that which they are. They are that. If I am truly a divine being, if I am truly expressing my divinity, I will not see anyone in need of anything. I will only see everything in me and my world, and that includes everyone in my world, as being revealed right now. Right now. And whatever games they want to play of running away from that revelation of themselves, I see them revealed. I say there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. I say there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. I say there is now wholeness on earth, and it began with me. I say there is now joy and harmony on earth, and it began with me. I say I am surrounded by beautiful people on earth, here and in every spiritual consciousness I have, and it began with me, it begins with me, it ends with me, it is with me. Now, no person can come up to me and be contrary to what my inner belief is. For if my inner belief is that all is in divine order, then every person who comes up to me will be in divine order. If my inner belief is every person in my world, every person in my universe, every person in the universe is whole and perfect right now, right now. Oh, what a wonderful attitude that is. Wow, every person in my world is whole and perfect right now, right now, right now. Every being that I ever created in me and around me and about me is whole and perfect right now, is expressing their original purity and integrity. Wow, how great that is, expressing their original purity and integrity. Yes, yes, yes. And there will be no person that will come up to me and say, you don't recognize my problem. You don't understand what I'm going through. And I will not have anyone say that to me ever, ever again. I will have only people saying to me, I'm whole and perfect. Hey, it's wonderful to live in a whole and perfect world. Yes, everything. They won't even say I'm whole and perfect because there's nothing from which to be whole and perfect. Whole and perfect is their natural state. The fulfillment of all is our natural state. Our natural state is our original purity and integrity. That's our natural state. There's nothing to be from the unnatural state because the unnatural state isn't part of our world. It isn't part of our universe. It isn't part of our life. The unnatural state just doesn't exist. Yes. How do I get to that point? How do I get to that level of spiritual illumination? How do I get to that point of understanding, that point of inner confidence? Very simply, very easily. Number one, I live in the now, right now, the only moment there is. And in this now, I live in my original purity and integrity. And I know, as I live in this now, all is in divine order. There is no person in the universe who will come and cry on my shoulder because there's nothing to cry about. They might come and smile on my shoulder and delight in my awareness of how wonderful they are, but they will not say, help me. They will not say, please tell me what to do. Please lay your hand on me. Please give me a pill. Please help me. No one will ever say that again as I turn my attention to my divine self and see all the world as a reflection of who I am. And as I see all the world a reflection of who I am, the world is good and very good. The world is pure and very pure. The world is right. And there will be people who come into my world attempting to bring their philosophy into my world. And I will just say, I see you living your original purity and integrity, being your divine self, being wonderful. I will not argue ever with any being on their point of view, because I can only say, I see you in your original purity and integrity. No one will refute such a statement. No one will say they don't want to be their original purity and integrity. They don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. All we know is that it's very wonderful. I see you, your original purity and integrity. I do not have the capacity to see anything else, but I see you, your original purity and integrity right now. And that's really all that matters. And that's really all that is. And that's really what I am. Yes, the human goes. The divine always was, is, and always will be. The divine is in the now, and I live in the now, joyously, wonderfully, perfectly. And so it is, because I like me, I love me. I like you. I love you.